Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket is the place to stock up for the Thanksgiving weekend. Best in imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And let's face it, wow the masses with selections from the pickle bar, which is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. Sean stocked me up last week, as a matter of fact.
Had to.
Well done, my man.
You were overdue a couple of months. We had to make sure you were, you know, I knew your schedule was pretty hectic the past couple of weeks, so.
I know when I come in for the 16th for the company holiday party.
16th, right? Okay.
I'm going to be making a stop. Jamie, if you want to know what we're doing, just call me.
She's just in the office shaking her head.
Because you two will play along. In the end, I think it's a brilliant plan. All right, Purdue upset by Tennessee today. What a win. Here's the call on the Tennessee Radio Network.
They try a long pass. Tennessee intercepted by Kyle Alexander. And the Big Orange has taken down the Boilermakers. Down go number 16 Purdue. The final score here in game one of the opener to the Battle for Atlantis. Tennessee 78, Purdue 75.
It's November. All right, so good win for Tennessee as they beat Purdue. Penn State, Texas A&M had a really good one last, so we're going to talk more about that in a few moments. But the Steelers play this weekend. The Steelers are 8-2 on the season. This time it's not a Thanksgiving Day game for them. It's the Giants and the Redskins. What executive in the NFL office or at NBC thought it was a great idea in the current climate to put Lawrence Taylor on the promo, right? Does anybody in the NFL office, say, for example, on their computer have Google? All right, let's bring in Neil Coulon. Neil, welcome. Always a pleasure, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
It's good to be here, as always. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so it's one thing if you play on a Thursday night, you win on a Thursday night. It seems to me there are great benefits because now you have a little bit of time to rest up and go to the next one.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what that was. But the funny thing was they started off the game as if they had just taken like 5 weeks off and didn't practice at all. I mean, it was really kind of sloppy, kind of slow, not really what you expected. And by all accounts, Ben Roethlisberger went in the locker room at halftime and kind of tore a strip off people, and they certainly responded to it because it's probably the best half of football they played all year, minus maybe the second half against the Bengals earlier this year. Certainly Tennessee's a better team than the Bengals, so you got to feel pretty good about that if you're pulling for the Steelers.
And not only that, they're hitting the schedule right because the Brett Hundley of the preseason of 2015 is not the Brett Hundley of the regular season of 2017. How dramatically different are the Packers just by removing one absolutely critical player?
The Ravens' defense literally was looking at what it seemed to me like a freshman quarterback. I mean, Hundley, he was terrible. Just out of sheer morbid curiosity, I wanted to see how he would end the game. And to a point where I was literally in the process of writing a tweet wondering what creative way Hundley would allow himself to get sacked in the end zone. And he didn't do that. He just threw a ball 4 feet over Jordy Nelson's head and right into the safety's hands, who ran it back inside the five. That was at the end of the game. That was like his, I think, 25th or 26th throw. I mean, he just looks horrendous. And he hasn't played to that level. In fact, few in history have played to that level. But he's put up some, you know, reasonably competitive performances to a point where you can kind of understand where Mike McCarthy was going when saying that, you know, Brett Hundley isn't our problem. It's like, all right, well, now he is. I don't know what you're going to do now. You're going on the road against a team in a mini bye week, so to speak, and the opportunity to play a game with some good rest at home. It's their second game consecutively at home, which historically has done well for the Steelers. I think they've since 2014, the last six games that they've played following another home game, they've scored 30 or more points. And two of those games are the ones where Ben threw for six touchdowns each. So really, the Steelers have a pretty good opportunity to legitimately challenge it. A 14-point favored status, which is rare. I don't remember the last time the Steelers have been favored by that much. But the Packers are flailing, to put it mildly. And Hundley might not even be the worst quarterback in the league. I don't know what that tells you for the status of the NFL currently.
Yeah, it tells me a lot because, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people, you know, you'll hear Kaepernick's name mentioned, but now I'm hearing that the Packers may have made a mistake, for example, by not signing Brian Hoyer, for example. And, somebody has a little more veteran presence, and you look at the Packers, between the offensive line injuries, they're shells of themselves right now.
Yeah, it's really bad. And Hoyer's a name that a lot of teams throw out there. He's well-respected in terms of his knowledge of the game, his professionalism. He's got a lot of experience. He doesn't have great physical tools, but we've seen instances in which Hoyer's good enough to get a team through a three-game stretch, or even, you know, half the season he played with Cleveland under Shanahan a couple years ago. You know, he's capable of playing, you know, probably at board football. A guy like Hundley, the lack of experience, which really seems kind of odd to me because he's been in a quarterback room for 3 years now, for him to play at the level that he's playing now really is kind of surprising. I mean, at one point, this was a guy that people were talking about maybe as a first overall pick out of UCLA, but he hasn't really improved. You know, I haven't seen anything different from him than what I remember watching in college. It really was kind of surprising to me. You really just don't see quarterback playing that badly that often, but we had a slew of them the last couple of weeks. It's really just kind of a weird season.
Neil, where are the Steelers better now, in your opinion, that makes them a real threat with the turn to December coming up?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can say categorically they're better in any one particular area. If anything, the absence of Mike Mitchell and Joe Hayden in the last game showed their secondary really doesn't have any depth. I didn't think they played particularly well, despite the turnovers that they got. And I don't know where Mariota's head was for a lot of that game, but he lit them up pretty well, too, just like Stafford did. So I'm not sure if that unit is any better. They've been getting pressure all year, you know, whether it's DeShone Kizer walking himself into seven sacks or them having to, you know, legitimately earn the pressure that they're getting. I think the pass rush is still at the level that it's been, which is definitely good. It's one of the best pass rushing units in the league right now. I thought Roethlisberger played an excellent game against Tennessee. We haven't seen that yet this year, so to me the jury's still kind of out on where he's going. The receiver play, outside of, you know, the obvious excellent Antonio Brown, they're not really getting a whole lot else. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster's a nice story and all, but it's not like he's, you know, the fuel that's cranking the engine here or anything. He's probably doing about what he should do, or at the very least what you hope you'd get from Martavis Bryant. The tight ends haven't been good all year, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. The offensive line has probably been about where it should be as a unit. Overall, unit MVP for the team, I'd say probably defensive line, but their secondary is going to get challenged now, and they're going to need to continue to play offense if they're going to win out.
All right. This is also the time you talk about quarterback play. And now have you started to take a look at some of the college quarterbacks like Josh Allen in Wyoming, Sam Darnold, who may or may not come out, Josh Rosen at UCLA? Have you started to look at any of those guys yet? And if you have, what kind of general feel do you have for each of those guys?
The name that I keep seeing come up with the real evaluation scouting types of people that I trust is Baker Mayfield. Which really kind of you get a real hodgepodge on feeling for him of where he's going to go. He could be somebody that's available at the late 20s into the early 30s or even into the second round, and he could be a guy that goes in the top 10. You're just not sure where he is right now. I mean, outside of the silly incident that he had against Kansas and his kind of, you know, fraud suspension or whatever you want to call that that he's got coming up this weekend. It really is kind of a – you're not sure where he is, but you do know that he's obviously a very almost Farvian-like player, and the fun that it seems to rally the players that are around him. And for me, that's the kind of trait I want in a quarterback, probably, not above all else, but if he's a 6'5 statue in the pocket with a cannon of an arm, but he can't lead anybody anywhere, probably not the guy I want so much. But certainly where the Steelers are in the first round, they really have to be thinking about a quarterback this year, because you're not seeing great play from Roethlisberger more than anything. And maybe this is just me and this is purely subjective. He doesn't seem to be having as much fun as he has in the past. He's a lot shorter with the media. This team's 8-2. He isn't playing particularly well, but it's not as if, we're above him looking like he's having a lot of fun on the field. I understand him not participating in like touchdown celebrations and everything, but he really just doesn't seem to be, the fun part of it isn't there for him. He's still working hard. He's still leading and all of that, but it makes you wonder if he isn't a lot closer to the end than what we might have thought earlier. And it'd be probably a good time for the Steelers to look at that quarterback position. Odds are excellent if Roethlisberger doesn't come back next year, Landry Jones is going to be their starter for a year. That's bad in and of itself. What's worse is, you want a second year Landry Jones, or do you want to have somebody else, ready to at least be able to compete for that spot? And I don't think they have that right now.
Have you had a chance to watch the Eagles? And if you have, what do you think of them?
I have, actually. I've watched quite a bit of them lately, largely just because of Carson Wentz, wanting to see, how he's progressing with his career. And they're an excellent all-around team. They really are. Each week it's kind of like, well, okay, let's see what they do. Can they handle this? They had a little bit of a setback a couple weeks ago. How are they going to respond for it? They're playing excellent football. That's going to be a really hard team to beat. And more than anything, I think the Super Bowl right now, the way we look at it, including the Patriots and the Steelers, I think is Vikings and Eagles. That's going to be if they do see each other in the playoffs, that's going to be an incredible game. Both of those teams are, I think, playing probably the best all-around football in the NFL right now, and especially with the Vikings, you're getting, borderline MVP-level contributions from Case Keenum. Maybe Case Keenum's a Steelers starter next year. I don't know, but they're really, the Eagles are probably the class of the NFL right now. The Vikings are right behind them. I think the power is definitely in the NFC. I would imagine they're probably 3.5-point favorites already in Vegas for the Super Bowl.
Are the Ravens better than you thought they'd be, or is it because it was Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, it's an aberration?
I think the Ravens are weird about the Ravens. I don't know how many teams are like this, but they have 3 shutouts this year, and they're 5-5. How often is that happening? Two-thirds of their wins come when the opposing team doesn't score. that's kind of an odd statistic. You don't see that very much, but it really is very Ravens. To me, it shows exactly who they are right now. They are a very good defensive football team with one of the worst offenses in the league. You take away from their totals, if you were to take away the points off of turnovers, you're looking at a group that's averaging probably 15 points a game. Their passing game is deplorable to a point where they don't have any other receivers, but they're benching one of them. He's that bad. The former first-round pick. They can't really get anything down the field. They're not really trying to get anything down the field. They run the ball fairly well, but they continue with this 6-yard-per-attempt average passing game, and it just, you watch it, it doesn't work. They're in third and long all the time, and they don't convert. Flacco, for whatever reason, doesn't throw the ball deeper down the field on third and long. I was counting that, and the game against the Packers, they had, between the two of them, they had eight consecutive third and long situations in which they threw half the distance to the sticks. It's like, well, you don't have difference maker athletes on offense. Baltimore has put so much into their defense lately, you're not really surprised that they're a good defensive team, and you're also less surprised that they're a bad offensive team. So to me, it really is kind of like you're probably going to be 8-8.
Wow. That's interesting. Very interesting. For the Steelers, how important do you think in the end is that they need to have a better record than the Patriots? Do you think Heinz Field is more important to them overall, because going to Foxborough can be a nightmare?
I think those are kind of two separate equations. I think you play the game on Mars, you have a better chance of winning than you do at Foxborough. The fact that it would be at Heinz is definitely an advantage, but they cannot win at Foxborough. We've seen that time and time again. They have to get that game out of there if they're going to have a chance. The AFC right now, it's so kind of up in the air in the back half of it. It's almost like the wild card and divisional games aren't really going to matter a whole lot. So for the Steelers, they really, I think, are largely in position to say, we're going to be playing for the AFC Championship game, and the regular season now is to make sure that that AFC Championship game is at Heinz Field, because we do not want it at Foxborough. If it's in Jacksonville, I'm probably not too worried about it, but you can't play that game in Foxborough. It's just too much history, too much negativity surrounding the team there, and you hear all the rumors that fly about stuff that just, you know, magically goes wrong for the visiting team in Foxborough. They want to stay away from there as much as humanly possible.
Neil, it is always a pleasure. To you and yours, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. We greatly appreciate everything you do for us all the time.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, Neil. Neil Coulong from USA Today. We'll come back with more in a moment. We count down to the bottom of the hour and our picks heading into the Thanksgiving weekend. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, boy, has it been a tough week. David Cassidy passing away. Della Reese passed away. Jana Novotná, Wimbledon champ, passed away. Cancer at 49. Wow. Obviously, Sean going back to his Partridge Family Days.
That was the first thing I did last night when the news broke after 9 o'clock. Yeah, got into the old Partridge Family playlist.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Penn State basketball last night. Texas A&M in the Ken Pom rankings, and that's the one. Those are the ones that Dick Girardi and I use. You know, AP, whatever. We're looking at the metrics and so forth. And they have Texas A&M going into the game last night at number 6. Penn State going into the game last night was 37. Today, Penn State is 40. I mean, that's what the two of us look at. And for 25 minutes, they just traded leather back and forth in the center of the ring. I mean, it's just really high-level hoops at 20 paces last night. And then Texas A&M got a little separation. They got separation by 17 points. And the question is, was 17 going to become 20, 25, 30? And instead, it became 15, 10. Then it got down to 5, 77, 72. And then finally, Texas A&M had enough to finally win it by 11 last night. Tony Carr played great. I mean, he played great again. He made the all-tournament team. Lamar Stevens played great. He made the all-tournament team. What was interesting is the two of them accepting their awards are very polite about it, but you could tell, like, yeah, okay, great, you know, didn't win the game. I like that. The fact that you could tell in their faces that they were respectful, polite about it, and then were like, yeah, this isn't what we want. Williams is, you can see why there were 30 NBA scouts there last night, 30 of them. Why? They had an opportunity to see this kid play. Does not have much of a face-up game, but you talk about anything that's 5 or 6 feet from the basket, he is fabulous. Great finisher all the way through. Quick, athletic. He's a really good rebounder, too. And then Davis, who was all SEC last year inside, made his plays. Now, he doesn't like a lot of contact. Davis is not a big contact guy. That's why he doesn't foul a lot, but he's a good player. I'll tell you, Texas A&M, I walked out of there impressed. I think they're going to be a 14-4, 12-6 SEC team when it's all said and done, which means they'll make the tournament. And Wilson, the point guard, the transfer from Marquette, helps them. He obviously played great last night at 22, but that's normally not what he does. He's not been asked to be a scorer in the Texas A&M offense, but it was a night where Penn State held down DJ Hogg, who ended up with 7, and he'd been averaging 20 a game. So there was some balance there. They just switched roles. McCarr, Stevens, Reeves play really well. Got to keep Mike Watkins out of foul trouble, but there was the second foul he got last night was a thoroughly, completely ridiculous call. The Chandler kid goes driving into the bucket, puts it up, and Mike blocked the shot, and he blocked it so hard it went off, the ball went off the kid's head. And the official thought that Mike hit him. No, see that orange thing? That's the ball. And Dick and Lyon looked at each other like, what are, you know, and you try, but you like, what are you doing? What are you watching? He blocked it so hard because the kid was underneath the basket, tried one of those up and under plays, and Mike blocked so hard he rammed the ball off the kid's head. So the kid's head jerks to the side, so they thought Mike hit him. No. So Mike had two fouls. Mike had to exit. Had to figure out a way to keep that from happening because athletically Mike is comparable to anybody on the floor. All right, we've added another game to the Pick'em segment next.
It's turkey time. It's hunting time. It's Brewer's Outlet time. Genesee 12-pack cans only $4.95. Sam Adams 12-pack bottles just $14.95. Molson 24-pack bottles $19.95. Lots of imports, microbrews, sodas, snacks, lottery tickets, and of course, the Brewer's Outlet Pickle Bar. Wow, even more specials. New Belgium 15-pack $16.98. Red's Wicked 12-packs $9.95. The Beverage Supermarket has all your party needs, even gift cards. So don't forget the Jenny, only $4.95. Have a 12-pack at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows it's the holiday season,
and you need a dependable vehicle, but also need as much money left in your pocket as possible.
Let's be honest. If somebody gives you way too much for your piece of junk trade or cash just for buying a car, who do you think is paying for it?
You are!
Come see why SMC has been selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Pick from over 100 2017 Ford F-Series trucks. Priced as low as $24,997. Choose from 42 2017 four-wheel drive Escapes, slashed as low as $19,975. At SMC, take $3,500 off all remaining 2017 Ford Explorers and get 0% financing for up to 72 months.
Don't believe everyone else's hype.
Sunbury Motors always gives you huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing options. And with over four city blocks of new Fords,
they have what you're looking for.
Sunbury Motors Ford,
in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Hey, go out tonight and stock up for your Thanksgiving weekend. Do it. Get it done.
How about this deal? How about this deal? Genesee 12 packs, $4.95. $4.95.
Wow.
You kidding me? They're open till 9 tonight.
I'm not here to kid, my man.
No.
All right. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I mentioned earlier how thankful we are for Sean from day one of my life. Hey, always been thankful for the next guy here. My brother, best in the world.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Doing all right. How are you?
Oh, man, banner week for candle sales. Banner week.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
More going out the door, and then I got somebody who wants to distribute them. So
there you go.
We both know, it's, in all seriousness, what a great product it is.
It is.
Really is. Mm-hmm. Really well done. I like the, you know, you got this artistic side to you. I was glad you've been able to show it off. That's nice.
I'm not artistic at all, but I watch Hallmark movies, and I pick it up from there.
Perfect.
Two hearts, one flame.
You gotta
love it. And you know what? It's all men buying them. It's a bail.
Well, yeah, because yeah, absolutely. No. It's absolutely right. Yeah. No, can you blame them? It's great. No, we're both happy for you.
Thank you. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right. I'm used to hearing that.
You look at me?
I'm used to it, Sean, believe me.
Sean, I used to do that with him when he would practice. He would be the play-by-play guy.
Right.
You know, like Penn State game, we do it on the TV. and I'd be the color guy, and he'd go, right, Kev? And I'd go, I forgot what I was going to say. And he'd keep on going, you know. I'd be like, well, I'm not sure. So.
Hey, did you ever get anything in that resolution, that land deal we were in?
I haven't gotten anything.
Yeah, okay. All right, I just want to make
you?
Sure. All right. Nope.
Oh, yeah, I got paid big time, man. You didn't get your check?
Did you get yours? Really? You didn't? Oh, that's too bad.
I got a letter. What letter?
I mean, I got double.
They must accept your share. I'm sorry. I'll pay you back.
I got double. What does that mean? All right, just want to make sure. All right.
No, I haven't heard a thing. So. Oh, and thanks for the package. I got it.
Oh, good.
I sent it to him today, so
we're good to go. Yeah, Jack and I are more than happy to do that.
Oh, yeah. She's a huge Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Huge. Right. She wears her Pittsburgh Steeler paraphernalia, whatever you call it, every Friday, you know. And Steeler born and bred. I don't know if she's from Pennsylvania, but it's her whole world. So.
All I know is she's going to look at the picture and go, okay, who's the other guy? Who's the other guy that signed this thing? Who is that?
Oh,
really?
Caught it.
Well, no, that's why they created Photoshop. Jack always makes this joke when they take pictures of all of us together. He said, you could crop certain people out, right? Like, yeah, thank you.
Well, I gave him the option, and he said, oh, no, I want, you know, obviously.
Well, we'll take the other idiot, too. Sure, put the other idiot on there. We're fine. All right. Hey, look, I know I'm an add-on. I'm like the extra horsepower.
Hey,
I'm the extra horse pulling the sleigh. I got it. All right.
No, you're not.
All right.
There's no snow.
I know. That's why I excel. All right. Let's get to the picks here.
All right.
We have extra games.
Yeah, we'll throw a seventh one in for good measure. But last week, the three of us, we crushed the buffet pretty good. All three of us went 5-1. That's the good news, but the bad news is Steve and I couldn't gain any ground. So standings are Kevin, 45-26. Steve is at 44-27, and I am at 43-28.
All right.
After 11 weeks, so yes.
Man, this is going to come down to the playoffs, huh? Just like last year. Right down to the last game. Man, it was exciting.
All right. So we got 7 to choose from. Let's dive into we'll start with the NFL first, since we're going to tackle the two of the three Thanksgiving games for tomorrow. High noon, Minnesota and Detroit.
Really like the Vikings a lot. I think I rode the Vikings last week too in the Rams game, didn't I? And Case Keenum's playing really well. I think Matthew Stafford's really good. I think of the Thanksgiving Day games, this is the best game of the day, and it's rare that we've been able to say that about the Thanksgiving Day game with Detroit. I'm going to pick Minnesota.
Well, the Lions have won 3 in a row, as well as their last 4 Thanksgiving Day games. I just think because of that, they're overdue to stumble. So I'm going to take Minnesota, too.
That's funny. You're both talking about Detroit and all that, and then you take Minnesota.
Well, no, I was talking about Case Keenum. I talked a lot about Case Keenum.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it sounded like you were going to take Detroit. Well, yeah. I was, you know, just listening. No big deal. Minnesota beat a good Ram team and beat them soundly.
Yeah.
And Detroit, you know, I'm on board with you guys. I mean, they're a good football team, and Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. But I think Minnesota is in that, you know, next tier in the NFL right now after last week. They're the real deal. So, Minnesota.
Okay.
I think Minnesota and the Eagles might be the two best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
So that's your Thanksgiving opener for tomorrow. Game number 2 at 4:30 will be the Los Angeles Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys.
You know what? 2 weeks ago, I would have picked the Cowboys. But I'm going to take the Chargers because the Cowboys right now on both sides of the ball are acting disorganized.
Chargers have won 4 out of their last 6. Dallas is done. L.A.
Okay, I'm going to rock the boat and take the Cowboys.
Look at you.
Only because they're home and because I don't know. Yeah. I can't stand them. I mean, they can't lose enough. But I'm going
to... But when I pick the Giants to beat them on opening day, I get killed. All right, I got it.
I just think the Chargers are always that team that looks great 1 week, and then the next week they toss one out.
I agree with that.
So I'm gonna take a chance here and take Dallas.
I agree with that.
And Sunday, what I think could be the top games of the whole weekend for the NFL: New Orleans and the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm taking the Saints. I was on the Saints bandwagon last week. I'm staying there with that running game, the defense, and if you need them, Drew Brees. I think the Saints.
You want to know what's great, Steve, with Drew Brees this year? His completion percentage right now is at 72%.
Wow.
So he's not. We know him for throwing a lot, racking up a lot of yards per game. But the great thing is with the 72-yard completion percentage, a lot of that's third down plays. You're extending drives, and you have more of a balanced offense. So even though Drew's numbers yardage-wise could be down, he's having a great year. And it just seems like they're clicking since Adrian Peterson left. So I'm going with the Saints, too.
I like the Rams team. I like the way they go. They'll throw the long ball. But I'm a Hallmark guy, Hallmark movie guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw any of the New Orleans game in the end of the game last week.
There's
a little girl on the sideline, and I don't know what the story was, but Drew Brees, before he goes on the field in overtime, he's running down the sideline and catches up with this little girl and says something to her. She got a big smile on her face, and they both give each other a high five. And then he runs down the field and takes them down the field, and they win the game.
Maybe she was in charge of the kicking tee or something.
I don't know. No, she was with somebody. I don't know if she won a prize to be down there or whatever. But he went out of his way to go say goodbye to her, and she said thank you to him. And I just like that. You know, for all the trouble the NFL has had, he's a good man. And so, that being said, I'm taking New Orleans. So,
all right, so let's get to our college games. Ohio State and Michigan, Saturday at noon.
Michigan doesn't have enough offense. Ohio State wins by at least 2 touchdowns in Ann Arbor.
Yep. Ohio State for me as well. Just the quarterback is issue for Michigan.
Ditto here, Ohio State, no question.
Alabama at Auburn, 3:30 Saturday on CBS.
Popular pick is Auburn for obvious reasons. I say Alabama wins. Although, here's an interesting stat. When Auburn has won 9 games or more in a season, Nick Saban is 0-6 against them. Do you know that?
Wow.
But I'll buck the trend, and I'm going to say Alabama's going to win. I still say, and I think Jalen Hurts is actually the difference. And I mean both running and throwing. I would not have said that a year ago, but I'll say that now.
Why is he not mentioned in Heisman at all?
Don't know. He's a true sophomore, but that didn't hold back, obviously, Lamar Jackson last year.
Yeah, he can play quarterback for anybody. What an athlete.
He's become a really good player. And Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver, is just an absolutely terrific player for Alabama.
Well, this is the game that could keep me in third place. So
please follow Sir Brad. He's going to give you a private tour of the Pit of Misery.
Pit of Misery! Dilly Dilly!
Dilly Dilly! Dilly Dilly!
So, I'll get that next week if Alabama wins. I'm going with Auburn.
Attaboy. Alabama. Alabama's going to lose a football game before I pick against them. I like Alabama. So. and I love the quarterback.
Yep.
All right, the battle for the Apple Cup in the Pac-12, Washington State and Washington.
To me, of all the games you put on there, this was the most difficult.
Absolutely.
That game is in, is that one in Seattle this time?
At Washington, yes.
Okay, so it's in Seattle.
Yes.
All right, I think they'll park the boats at the docks near the stadium, and I'm going to go with the home team. I think Washington State, when they go on the road, are not, they're not the same team they are when they play in Pullman. I'm not a big, as you know, I'm not a big Washington guy. I'm just not. Somebody talked about maybe the possibility of Penn State playing them in a bowl game. I'm like, yeah, bring them on. But I'm going to pick Washington to win this game on home field advantage only.
I will go with the Cougs, Washington State.
Oh, Sean. Sean will be in first place at the end of this. Yeah. I'm with Steve. I'm taking the home team, Washington Huskies, a lot for the same reason. Washington State, I think it was against Oklahoma. I mean, it was a shootout, but they could not stop Oklahoma at all. And I'm going to, same deal. I couldn't decide which one I'd take the home team.
Yeah, it's just, when I watched Washington State play Cal after they came off that great emotional win over USC at home, they had to go on the road. And they were coddled at home the first few weeks of the season. They finally went out on the road for the first time, and they got waxed.
Yeah.
So that is Saturday night at 8. That's the primetime Fox game, Washington-Washington State. At the same time, Saturday night at 8, you've got Notre Dame at Stanford. So I would think this game, a New Year's Six game, is on the line for the Fighting Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford. Bryce Love. Oh. Big night, Stanford.
I'm taking Notre Dame just for the fact that we don't know if Love's going to be 100%.
I'm taking Notre Dame for what you said, Sean. This is a must-win for Notre Dame.
Which running game is better for this game?
Which team?
Well, you know what? I mean, Notre Dame has a great running game when it's in gear, but Miami... I mean, to their credit, Miami played really well and took it all apart. I mean, it's one area where you get into with Stanford and Notre Dame is which team can make the other team blink in the running game and force them to throw the football where everybody in the ballpark knows they're going to have to throw the football. And neither one of them exists very well in that world.
It's going to be a bang-em-out bruising game.
I think so, too.
Kind of game, yeah. I just think Notre Dame's got better athletes. So.
Yeah, you know, they
and
probably
they have
do.
To win the game. They have to win. They had a great season. It'll go down the drain if they lose this game. So
Stanford's been playing a lot better lately. Yeah. Stanford's been playing a lot better lately, although I did watch their game with Oregon State where they floundered around for about 59 minutes and 25 seconds and then said, I think we better do something here.
They were like that at the start of the year. I saw them play a couple times at the start of the year and was not, who cares what I think, but I wasn't impressed. They weren't overpowering. And I know it's a long season, but I think Notre Dame is still very, very good.
Yeah, I think they are too. It's going to come down to in this game which team has to change mode and force themselves to throw more.
Right.
And I think if that happens, I think Stanford actually has the better chance of hanging in the game than Notre Dame does because Wimbush is a good thrower, not a great thrower. Now, remember, Jalen Hurts last year with Alabama was a good thrower, not a great thrower. I was talking in the preseason with Rick Neuheisel, and we were talking about this. And Neuheisel was talking about the confidence that Hurts has as a runner is 180 of the confidence he has as a thrower. Well, now you look at Jalen Hurts, and Hurts looks like he has a lot of confidence throwing the football, which makes him doubly dangerous. Stanford's quarterback, when they need to, can throw it. Wimbush is still in the Jalen Hurts freshman year category where he doesn't quite have the confidence throwing the ball as he does running the ball.
I read somewhere that Hurts went to Peyton Manning's quarterback camp.
Yep.
And I guess
a lot of
that's
people
the
do.
Real deal. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
no, a lot of people deal. Do. Yeah, I know. Yep.
They said he really, they were impressed, you know, what a good young man and hard worker. And he's, you know, you want to hear that stuff. What do you think about the kid for, what's his name, Oklahoma, the quarterback?
You know what's interesting? More and more people are talking about him in the pro prospect, which I found interesting. He's tough and he's gutty. What's interesting about the commentary about what he did in the sideline, which was absolutely inappropriate, and of course it was inappropriate above all because it was caught on camera,
right?
Is nobody talks about, and again, these are two separate issues, all right? Nobody talks about Kansas not shaking his hand before the game.
Yeah, that bugged me more than what he did. I mean, I get the vulgarity of it and all that stuff, and he was caught up in the moment. But I mean, those guys humiliated him, and he's a competitor, and he kind of lost his head a little bit, you know.
Yeah, but here's one for you. You are Kansas football, okay? You are not in a position to diss anybody on the planet.
Glad I finally hear someone saying this. Yeah,
you are Kansas football.
Not basketball. Yeah.
You do not have any semblance of right to diss anybody. You're not good.
A bunch of players who got cut by Oklahoma.
I mean,
boxers touch gloves, you know. And then they go beat the crap out of each other.
The story came down this afternoon that three of the Kansas captains, they've lost their captainship for this weekend. I guess the coach may not have been aware of what they were doing out there at midfield before the game started.
Well, Maryland did. We all know Maryland did that to Penn State before the game in 2014 here. And you looked at it, Jack and I looked at each other like, what is your problem? All right, just shake hands, and they just refused and walked away, and the Penn State guys were left there hanging, looking like, what the heck are you doing here?
Yeah.
Look, you're okay, if you want to project yourself as a Bush League program, you do Bush League things. That's Bush League.
Yeah.
Now what Mayfield did was wrong. I'm not excusing Mayfield. He's wrong, and I think Lincoln Riley sounds like he's handled it well and the whole deal. But you're Kansas football. Hey, you are perceived as being Bush League. You just showed the nation that you still are.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they're still kids, you know. They do stupid things. But Kansas's, what they did was premeditated. They thought about it and said, this is what we're going to do. What Mayfield did, he was just mad. You know, he was out of his mind. Now he's not on TV anymore. He'd care less. He's just mad. He wants to go out and kick someone's butt. But it wasn't premeditated. What they did on purpose. And
they thought about it and did exactly what they planned on doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Kansas basketball, they can back up everything they do. And they seem to shake hands with everybody after every game.
And right.
Kansas football, been years since you've been able to back up what you do.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. So they should have been penalized too. So is he going to get to go out senior day or just not start? At first they said he couldn't play.
He's going to play, but he's not going to start. Now, how long Lincoln Riley keeps him out? Does he keep him out of series? Does he keep him out of quarter? He hasn't said yet.
Well, I mean, I think it's awful that the kid, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, and he's going to have that following him, and that's just a shame. So
that'll follow him until he gets, well, if they win the national championship, it won't follow him. They'll talk about him as a national championship quarterback. It's been quite a run for him. You know, he's a walk-on. Now he gets to this point. I mean, and he's played really well, and he's played well in big spots.
Yeah.
All right. Great Thanksgiving to you and Clara.
Thank you very much. Same to you guys. And
all right.
Say hi to the families and stay safe and all that stuff.
We'll
talk to you next week.
You betcha.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Sean, thankful beyond words for you. You've just done incredible work, and I enjoy every day showing up here and going through all the great stuff that you do to make the show much better, and you do a lot to overcome what I do.
Privilege is all mine and an honor to be on the show. So happy to you and yours, and enjoy tomorrow.
And by the way, above all, thankful to you and the audience. Whether you're driving or at home or at work, we can't thank you enough. I mean, because of you, we get to sit here and talk. Thank you.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.